We're here at the CTIC Conservation and Action Tour of the Florida Everglades Agricultural Area. And Rich, I would like you to introduce yourself for me, please.
Sure. It's Rich Budell. I'm the Director of Water Policy for the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services.
And Rich was with was our luncheon speaker here, and he talked a lot about water policy in the state and the demand for water and how it has changed as far as agriculture and consumer use. Tell us a little bit about that, Rich, how the demand for water has changed.
Well, I population growth is the big factor in driving water use demand. And that will continue in Florida. It's the third largest state. We're continue to grow pretty rapidly. So there's going to continue to be an increase in freshwater demand on the domestic side, on the public supply side of the equation. The challenge that I think we'll face is to make sure that as those domestic demands grow, we don't lose sight of the fact that agriculture has to continue to have access to adequate quantities of water so they can continue to produce and thrive and contribute to the local economies like they're so important in doing. So the challenge is going to be balancing that.
Well, I was surprised at just how recently it was that consumer use of water overtook agriculture.
Yeah, it's just been in the last few years. We think it was sometime between 2010 or 2011 is where public supply demand overcame agricultural demand. And as I stated, those two lines will never cross again. We'll never see agriculture take a larger proportion of the water. But that doesn't lessen the importance of conservation and being efficient. And that was the other kind of comments that I made is how important it is. Agriculture has already demonstrated an extreme propensity for efficiency. I think there are more steps that can be taken. But we always need to be able to tell that story, that we're using the most efficient irrigation system, that we're using the water that we do have access to as efficiently as possible.
Well, and you also pointed out that the areas that the agricultural areas that you use the most are also some of the most populous areas of the state.
Correct. Orange County, Manatee County, Palm Beach County, Miami-Dade are, large population centers. Hillsborough County is another example. And they're also some of our most productive agricultural lands. And where that nexus occurs, where you've got a large demand for the public supply along with a very healthy agricultural economy, it makes managing that water balance even more difficult and challenging.
What are some of the crops? I mean, when I was looking at your map, we're in the Everglades agricultural area, but let's take Hillsborough County, for example. Talk about some of the crops. Suwannee County, I assume that's mostly dairy.
Well, Hillsborough County, for example, there's quite a little bit of citrus in Hillsborough County. There's a good bit of vegetable production in the southern part of the county. It's kind of the strawberry capital of the world. The Dover Plant City area is a really big strawberry production. There's a lot of nursery production in Hillsborough County. So a very active, vibrant agricultural community. In Suwannee County, yes, there are a number of dairies in the greater Suwannee County area. But there's also quite a bit of vegetable production. There's a lot of melons and squash and those kinds of things, cantaloupe, watermelon. And then there's a lot of row crops. There's peanuts and there's corn and there's carrots are getting big in the Suwannee Basin. So it's a pretty diverse mix across the state.
And you wouldn't think, when we talk about this, you're talking about irrigation. In a state where we have so much water, why do we have so much irrigation?
Well, that's a good question. In South Florida, we get the vast majority of our rainfall in the summertime when it's too hot for a lot of agricultural production. The big production season in South Florida is in the wintertime. Well, that's the dry time of year. So we're in a kind of a rainfall deficit during the time when all of the crops need the water. So we have to supplementally provide irrigation to get them through that dry season. And in North Florida, the water budget is a little more uniformly distributed over the year. There's not so much a winter dry season, summer wet season. It's a lot more uniform. But most of the irrigated land in Florida is in that southern peninsular area that experiences that dry winter season. And that's why we need the supplemental irrigation.
As far as the state is concerned and the state legislature and your Department of Agriculture, do you have the understanding from the legislature, the lawmakers, of the importance of agriculture?
I think the legislature understands the importance of agriculture to the economy and the just the socio-cultural development of Florida. They know how long agriculture has been on the landscape here, 500 years. It's been a pillar of the economy. They are very sensitive to agriculture's needs. They know that agriculture is a good steward of the land. It's a very good land management, land use type. It's better than, you know, parking lots and malls and housing developments. So they generally understand that and get it and want to be friends of agriculture. But it's always a struggle to balance the budget. And there are so many demands on the legislature, you know, education, health care, roads. You know, it's just hard to manage it. But, yes, the legislature understands the value of agriculture.
Well, when we see the success of what is of the water management here in this part of the state in particular, and just managing the nutrients and getting them down, when we look at something like what's going on the federal level, and I know that our Commissioner of Agriculture has been rather vocal about the Waters of the United States rule, for example, how does the state feel and your Department of Agriculture feel as far as your ability to manage the water of the state of Florida?
Well, we feel pretty strongly we can manage it better at a local level than anybody could manage it from Washington or Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We think that we've demonstrated a commitment to water resource protection and restoration. You know, 40% of all the water quality data in the nation comes from Florida. So there's been a huge commitment and a huge monetary commitment from the legislature and the water management districts and our partners with the Department of Environmental Protection committed to resource protection and restoration. I think our water governance system is about as sophisticated as any in the country. We have very strong isolated wetlands protection programs and have had since the early 80s. We've got a very aggressive resource protection and restoration program in our total maximum daily load establishment and numeric nutrient criteria and basin management action plans and all of those. I just don't think there's any state that's better positioned to manage its own water than Florida.
Well, and it seems like to me also, from what I've seen, you could teach the rest of the country other management areas like Chesapeake Bay and things like that a thing or two, as well as the federal government.
Well, there are lots of challenges out there, and I was fortunate to be able to work on a National Academy of Sciences panel that was actually evaluating nutrient reduction strategies in the Chesapeake Bay a few years ago. And there are no shortage of challenges, and every situation is unique. It's all different. No one-size-fits-all approach will work, but it'll take long-term commitment. That's one of the key elements of this, is that these are not quick-fix-type problems. These take dedicated resources, both monetary and human resources, that are, you know, smart people thinking up solutions that have to get implemented over a long period of time to achieve these restoration goals. They didn't become a problem overnight. They're not going to get corrected overnight. It's going to take long-term commitment.
Well, even if you couldn't do the same thing in Chesapeake Bay area, the kind of stormwater areas that you do here or something like that, I think it's more the model of the farmers working in conjunction with the state.
Well, I think that agricultural landowners are probably some of the best land managers out there. They understand the importance of water protection and water resource conservation and soil health, and you know they get it. And they are, I think, a key partner in any successful restoration program. You're never going to have enough money to put conservation easements on all the property or buy all of the land. It doesn't make sense that we're going to be able to continue to live the quality of life that we've accrued over time without agriculture as a key component of the landscape. And we just need to recognize that and minimize the footprint that's created, optimize production, and you know figure out how to solve problems collaboratively. It doesn't do any good to point the finger. And I think that has been at the root of a lot of Florida's success is the collaboration that's been built over time.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Rich, here at the CTIC Conservation and Action Tour, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.